Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning. God bless you. Great to be able to share the word of the Lord with you today. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to come over with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. While you're headed over there, just one quick announcement for you. Tomorrow evening, there are going to be worship team auditions for both the youth group and the adult worship team. That's going to be tomorrow night. For the youth group, the auditions will be at 6:30 p.m. and for the adult worship team, 7:30 p.m. If you'd like more information on that, you can get in touch with Pastor Kevin for the youth side of things and Pastor Jason for the adult worship team tomorrow night. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'd like to begin reading this morning with verse 8. Paul says, "To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." And then in verse 14 he begins to pray. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Powerful prayer from the Apostle Paul. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about praying great prayers. This week, we're going to conclude our series. As we finish our series today, I'd like to share with you about praying big picture prayers. Praying big picture prayers. Let's bow our hearts and ask the Lord's blessing as we prepare to look into his word today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your word. It's a lamp for our feet and it's a light for our pathway. Jesus said that your word is like seed. So we ask that our hearts might be good soil right now, soil that can receive and retain the seed of the word of God and bear fruit. Jesus said that the words he speaks to us are spirit and life. So Father, send your spirit and minister life to us from Jesus today. We ask it in his name. Amen and amen. Well, you know, having the right perspective can be very important. Sometimes we misinterpret things because we think that we're seeing the whole picture when in reality we've only got one small piece of the puzzle. Maybe you heard the story of the man who was going to take his very first flight. And he was terrified at the thought of it. As his departure date drew close, he grew increasingly anxious, and he kept thinking about what it might be like to be 6 miles up in the air. Finally, the big day came, and he found himself breaking out into a cold sweat as he looked out the window of an airplane for the very first time. "Look at those cars down there," he shouted. "They look like bugs." The man in the seat next to him smiled and said, "I think they probably are bugs. We haven't taken off yet." We've all been like that man at one time or another. Sometimes we think we're looking at the big picture when we can't really see it at all. At times we are overly tied to the earth and earthly ways of viewing things. We haven't really climbed high enough yet to see the big picture or ascended up to the place where we can't even see the highways, much less the cars and people. Having a limited perspective on our lives can affect our thinking in many ways, and it's a certainty that it can affect our praying. Our scripture passage today from Ephesians 3 holds one of a number of intercessory prayers for the church that we find scattered across the New Testament. And they are powerful prayers that we call apostolic prayers. Apostolic prayers. As you may imagine from the name, we call them apostolic prayers because most of them were composed by the apostles of the Lord. There are many such prayers within the New Testament, and they give us some wonderful insights into the fatherly hearts of that first generation of leaders in the body of Christ. Paul and the other apostles prayed these beautiful and stirring prayers for God to give us strength and for us to grow into a place of complete Christian maturity. Reading these anointed prayers makes me wonder how awesome it would be if we could learn again what it means to pray the scriptures. And more specifically, if we could only see what great grace would be released into our lives as we pray those apostolic prayers. I know that many of you do already pray the scriptures. You probably read the Psalms, and maybe you pray some other well-known prayers from the Bible as a regular part of your prayer life. Of course, we know that Christians have always used the Lord's Prayer as a pattern to help them in their praying. And you may remember a few years ago that many people also learned to pray the prayer of Jabez, which is very powerful. But when I say that we need to learn to pray the scriptures, I'm actually talking about something a bit deeper than that. I'm not speaking so much about discovering the principles of intercession or patterns for our praying, but I'm talking about taking a little time to dig into the Word of God to find the jewels of God's precious promises to us. Just as we shared when we spoke about praying like a watchman a couple of weeks ago, praying the scriptures means praying God's promises back to him in faith. Church, praying the Word of God is powerful. And throughout this series of messages, we've been talking about praying great prayers. What are they like? What are great prayers like? Great prayers are big, and they're intercessory. Great prayers aim for big goals, and they're intercessory because they position us where we're standing in the gap for other people who need God's help. Great prayers are biblical. We pray according to the Word of God, which is His will, and that increases our faith. The Bible says that if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we also know that we will have the petitions that we've asked from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Great prayers are benevolent. That means that they wish other people well because they are a reflection of the heart of a God who desires what is truly good for people. And great prayers are bold. Bold praying dares to rise up in faith, holding on to the promises of God, and to keep praying until the answer comes, even if some people would say to you that what you're asking is really impossible. Praying the scriptures, praying the Word of God is powerful, but praying apostolic prayers helps us to pray prayers that are truly great in every way. These apostolic prayers are the big picture prayers of the Word of God. And I believe that praying apostolic prayers is the most strategic and most profound way to pray the Word of God. It transforms our character as we begin to pray about these big issues of life. Apostolic prayers help us to pray with a heavenly perspective, not praying about life from the ground level, but praying from 50,000 feet, seeing things from God's altitude. They are God's big picture prayers. And I want to share with you this morning three important reasons why we need to pray these big picture prayers, the apostolic prayers. Three reasons to pray big picture prayers. And the first one is this. Praying big picture prayers brings us into God's purposes. Praying big picture prayers will bring us into God's purposes. Praying apostolic prayers is about more than standing on the promises of God in faith, as important as that is. It's about allowing God to begin to shape our entire prayer life through His Word. Praying apostolic prayers is about more than praying for my needs. We need to be praying for our needs, but it's about more than praying for my needs and the needs that people express to me, as necessary as that is. It's about learning to pray for the big picture. It's about praying for what God says people need and about what God says I need. You know, church, God wants to teach us how to pray for things that we did not even know we needed. Well, I better say that one again. God wants to teach you and me how to pray for the things that we did not even know we needed. And praying apostolic prayers will let us do just that. It will help us to get a proper perspective on our lives so that we can pray about the most important things in our lives. I believe that because we are a New Testament people, it's essential that we pray in a New Testament way. Does that make sense? We certainly need to pray the Psalms and think about the wonderful prayers that are in the Psalms. We definitely need the words of the prophets of the Lord, but we especially need the prayers that were crafted by the Holy Spirit for people who live today. Do you understand me? We definitely need to pray the prayers that God composed, especially for Christians. I need to be praying, of course, about what's on my mind today and what's facing me this month. I need to pray for my immediate spiritual health. I need to pray for the material blessings that God knows that I need in my life. But sometimes I need to get out into the deeper waters with God and pray some prayers that ask God to help me grow up to the likeness of Christ. I need to pray some prayers that talk about the ultimate goal of my faith and where I'm headed in God. I need to pray some prayers about where God wants me to be in my life 10 years from today. You may worry about where your kids or your grandkids are going to be at spiritually 10 years from now, but do you know that no matter how old you are, God is still concerned about where you're going to be spiritually 10 years from today? And God wants to teach us how to pray about those things. Learning to pray those apostolic prayers that we find in the New Testament will enable you to pray that way. It will let you pray in harmony with God's big picture goals for you as a believer. Now, that may sound a little deep for a nice Sunday morning, but it's actually not as daunting as it sounds. In fact, it's very easy to get started. You know, one of the best Bible studies that we can ever do is to read those New Testament letters and keep a sharp eye out for the prayers and the benedictions and the blessings that those letters contain. When you spot them in the text as you're reading your Bible, you need to make a note of them. You ought to highlight them or underline them and even memorize them. Write them out on index cards. I don't know. Do they still make index cards? I'm not sure. I think maybe you have to buy the iPad first and they give you the index card. I don't know. Well, that's how we used to memorize scripture back in the 19th century when I was coming up. But you need to work on memorizing those prayers. Get them deep. Get them down into your spirit. Understand what those prayers are saying. Understand the flow of them. Some of them are deep, I know. But the Holy Spirit will help you to understand them. Why? Because He wrote them for the church. He wrote them for you. He wrote them so that you would understand where God wants to take you in your walk with Him. The prayer that we read this morning from Ephesians chapter 3 is just one of these prayers, but there are a number of them. There's a wonderful prayer in Ephesians 1 where Paul prays that we might be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. There's a powerful prayer in Colossians 1 in which Paul prays that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. How many of you would like to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God? Amen. There's another wonderful prayer, simple prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5, which simply asks God that we would be completely set apart for Him in our spirit, soul, and body, and be preserved blameless until Jesus comes again. Passages like that, I believe, are what made up the prayer book of the early church. I'm glad that people write prayers and compose prayers for different occasions and write devotionals and all these things. I do it myself. But you know what? I'm just old-fashioned enough to think that the best prayer book is the book God gave us. We need to learn these prayers and live in them a little bit and pray them. We need to pray these prayers for ourselves and for our kids. We should pray them for our church, and we should pray them for other Christians whom we know. One thing that you can do is just write them out on a piece of paper, or write them inside your Bible and insert your name into it, or place in there the names of your children. I'm teaching you something that's very powerful but very simple here. Tell your neighbor, say, even I can do that. Go ahead. You can learn to pray those prayers for yourself and say, God, I pray that you would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of my understanding be flooded with light so that I may know what is the hope of your calling, so that I may know what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and Lord, so that I may know what is the surpassing greatness of your power toward me as a believer. See how that works? It's powerful to put yourself into the Word of God like that. You can pray that way for your spouse. Pray that way for your kids and say, God, I pray for my son that he may be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he may have a walk that's worthy of you, completely pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You think it'd be great for your kids and grandkids to experience that in their lives? When we're praying these wonderful apostolic prayers that God has given us, when we're praying those things for the church and for ourselves, what are we doing? We are praying for God's highest priorities and God's purposes. We are praying the perfect will of God for ourselves. You know, God is so very kind to help us in our ignorance. The Bible says that we don't know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. That's certainly true when we pray in other tongues. When we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives us words that are unknown to us, but they are words that enable us to pray the will of God. I'm so thankful that God does that because it lets us pray in a way that goes far beyond our limited human understanding of things and of situations. I pray in tongues personally all the time because I don't always know what to pray, whether it's for my own needs or whether I want to pray for other people. I don't necessarily know what is the best thing to pray. I may also have my own opinions about you. I may have my own opinions about what I think you need. And maybe I could be praying my opinion for you and be incorrect. But see, if I humble myself and if I admit that I don't know the best way to pray, what happens? If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, God gives you grace. See, if I humble myself and admit to God that I don't really know the best way to pray for people, God gives me grace and he lets me pray perfect prayers, prayers that are in accordance with his perfect will as I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand that a similar thing happens to us when we pray the apostolic prayers from the word of the Lord. You may not understand what you're saying when you're praying in tongues, but when we pray God's big picture prayers, not only do you know what you're saying, but you can know that you're praying the perfect will of God for your loved ones and for yourself. You may say, well, Pastor Nick, praying in tongues, that's something supernatural. Well, so is this. Consider this with me, church. You know that all the scripture is inspired by God. In fact, in the Greek, it tells us that the Bible has been breathed by God. It has the life of God within it. The word of God reveals to us what is the will of God. And it reveals it in the very precise, the very exact words that God chose. So when you're praying these apostolic prayers from the New Testament, you are praying for exactly what God wants you to know. You are praying for exactly what God wants you to have. And you're praying for exactly the things that God wants you to experience. You know what it means? It means God is giving you an unfair advantage in your prayer life. Now, that may not seem as supernatural as tongues, and it may not give you so many goosebumps, but it can be just as life-changing when I pray for my understanding with the exact things that God wants me to know and have and experience. Somebody said, it's telling God what he told you to tell him. I like that. Now, people are often ask their pastors and friends to help them pray to find the will of God for their life. Well, I've got good news for you today, church. I know God's will for your life. God's will is for you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The will of the Lord is for you to experience his great power at work in your life. The will of God is for you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness that come by Jesus Christ so that your life is something that causes people to give glory and praise to God. That's the will of God for your life. You say, well, how do you know that? I know that because in his word, in those big picture prayers, God says that those are some of the things that he wants you to be enjoying in your life. As we pray these prayers, we also start to understand the will of God for ourselves and for others. We don't always know what God thinks is best or what's important for the people that we care about, but God is telling us. Praying this way lets me pray prayers that are higher than the prayers I can pray from my own limited human perspective. It lets me pray for my wife, for my children, for my relatives in a way that reaches far beyond what I know. It lets me pray prayers that are wiser than I can pray. It lets me pray for things that I didn't even know were important. It lets me pray God's priority, the things that are the main things from God's perspective, his big picture prayers. When we pray those things in humility, in faith, I think we'll see that they unlock the perfect will of God and they will connect us to God's purposes. That's the first important reason to pray these prayers, his apostolic prayers, because they bring us into the purposes of God. The second reason to pray big picture prayers is this. Big picture prayers not only change things, they change me. Big picture prayers not only change things, they change you and me. As we study the prayers in the New Testament and pray them, we begin to be changed. And the Word of God tells us that it's God's intention for our lives that we go from glory to glory, that we continue to ascend from one level to another higher level. As you pray this way, as you meditate on these prayers, you'll begin to understand what God thinks is important for your growth and for your maturity. Now, I know everyone has ideas about the best way to grow, to mature in life. It's great to seek out godly wisdom. There are good principles of church growth, principles of leadership, discipleship, conflict resolution. All of these kinds of things are great. But it's only when we focus on what God says we need for our development that we will see people, that we might see ourselves getting unstuck from where we are in life. And you can find that kind of praying there in these apostolic prayers. I think it's important that we stop and reflect. The apostles were not so concerned about changing things in your life as they were about making sure that you get connected to life. You get that? Not so much concerned that things in your life are changed, but that you get connected to life himself. The great passion of the apostles was that we might grow up in all things into Christ Jesus. How would you like to be more like Jesus in every way possible? Amen. Could you use a little more grace or a little more wisdom today? Could you use a little more patience so you don't slay your neighbor this week? Or could you use a little more love when you're on 287? We need to grow up into him in all things. When we study these prayers, we see that they emphasize a few important things. Knowing the will of God, pleasing God, living holy, experiencing God's goodness, experiencing God's power in your life. If we had to boil them down maybe to one thing only, I'd say it would be this: praying for Christian maturity, praying to become like the Lord Jesus in everything that we do. And we need to pray in accordance with that desire of God for us to grow up like Jesus, that we could emulate Jesus and take him as our pattern and as our goal for all the sons and daughters of God. Paul's purpose, he said, was to present, was to teach every man in all wisdom so that he might present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. Paul said that was his purpose, his passion and goal. Peter's purpose was to remind us, he said, of what to do so that we would be fruitful and have a wonderful welcome into the kingdom of God. I would like to be wonderfully welcomed into the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to hear some applause when I walk in there, not crickets. Wouldn't it be bad to walk in and see everybody looking at their gold sandals when you walk in the door? That would be bad. John's purpose was to see us break the cycles of sin in our lives and realize that he that's within us is greater than he that's in the world. And realize that whatever is born of God, John said, overcomes the world. See, those were the big passions that they had. If we start praying about those things, then we'll connect ourselves and the people we care about to God's desire that we grow up. Paul said in Ephesians 4 that the job of the apostles is about building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. Listen to this phrase, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. I hope you know, church, not everybody has your best interest at heart. But rather, Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That's a clear expression of God's will for us, for your maturity, that in all things we might grow up into him. We need to pray, church. Of course we need to pray about our circumstances in life that we face today. But you know, God can do so much more in my life when I also start to pray about who I am, about what kind of person I am, and not just about what I'm facing today. We'll begin to see changes within ourselves over time, big changes, when we start to pray about the transformation of our character. Many times, you know, as pastors, we do hear people's desires. They don't just want to have better things in life, but they want to be better people. Do you understand? God knows the desire of our hearts to lay aside every weight and to just break free of the entanglement of sin that so easily besets us. Praying these prayers will help us to get there. It will help our families. It will help our kids advance, I believe, to new levels of maturity in God. If you're stuck today, praying this way can start to pull you loose. If you're stalled, this can get you going again. Is it because praying the Bible, praying the scriptures is somehow magical? Is it some kind of ritual? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But it's because praying these kinds of prayers teaches us what we need in order to get off the Christian roller coaster and really grow up. Praying apostolic prayers will get you praying for the things that God knows you need if you're going to move out of spiritual childhood and begin really looking like Jesus Christ. Why do we need to pray God's big picture prayers? First, because they bring me into God's purposes. Second, big picture prayers don't just change things, they change me. And finally, this big picture prayers connect us to God's ability to do more than we can imagine. Big picture prayers connect us to God's ability to do more than we can imagine. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays that marvelous prayer. And let's just review it starting from verse 14 and talk about it a bit. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The third reason we need to pray God's big picture prayers is that they connect us to God's ability to do more than we can ask or even think. What was Paul praying for believers for us to enjoy in this prayer? First, he's praying that we might receive power through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, in your inner person. This is a pressing need today in the Church of Jesus Christ. The outer man gets plenty of attention, as you know, but the inner man, I think, needs some care, maybe even a day at the spa. We need to ask God again for power in the inner man and go to God and ask him for power over temptation. Don't take temptation lying down. When you are confronted with that same temptation over and over again, don't accept it, church, that that's just who you are. That's just the way that you're going to be. Go to God and ask him for grace to hold on, for grace to endure and grow strong in the various trials of life that you face. Ask God for power, that you may stand in the evil day, as the Bible calls it. And then, having done all to stand, having done everything through the power of God, to still be standing at the end of the day. Because having spiritual stamina is not about just grinning and bearing it. It's not about just putting up with it or just living one day at a time in my own strength. It's about going to God and receiving his enablement for my day. It's about going to him as the source of power and saying, God, strengthen me with might today in my inner man, and receiving it in faith. Then Paul prays that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. That means, actually, in the Greek language there, that Jesus becomes a permanent resident in your heart. In other words, that he has come to settle down in us. I like that. What a blessing this is, especially when we're anxious, to know that Jesus is still within our hearts. Paul says that this takes place through faith. I think some of us need to be reminded today that Jesus has said to you, see, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Somebody needs to be reminded today that Jesus said, see, I am with you even till the end of the age. Somebody needs to be reminded that the Word of God says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Praise the Lord. Paul says that takes place through faith, that you hold on to that in your heart. We need to trust, in other words, in the word of the Lord when he says that Christ is truly with us and truly within us. We can draw upon the comfort and the encouragement that his presence gives when we hold on to him in faith and when we decide to make Jesus a permanent resident in our hearts and not just somebody who's passing through my day. Then Paul prays that we would be rooted and grounded in love. And now we're getting to the heart of the matter. This is God's prescription for your peace and your success in godliness. Our lives must be rooted and grounded in love, and so we need to be praying for that. What a simple prayer to pray, right? God, let me be rooted and grounded in love. How simple it is to pray a thing like that. But how much it might change our hearts if we actually did it. Rooted in love, what does it mean? It means that love is what is anchoring your heart. Knowing that God loves you can keep you holding on to him in the storms of life. Knowing the love of God, being rooted in his love, enables me to hold on to him and draw nourishment from him, just as a tree holds on and receives nourishment from the sun and the soil. Grounded in love, Paul says. In the Greek, that means established in love. In other words, love is your foundation. It's to be the foundation of your life. And when you build your life on the love of God, you will be solid and you will be strong. We've all seen people build their lives on things other than God's love. Amen. Rooted and grounded in fear. Rooted and grounded in jealousy. Rooted and grounded maybe in greed. But those are all recipes for disaster and unhappiness. If those things have dominated your life, then I believe the Lord is inviting you today to come to Him and enable you instead to be rooted and grounded in His love. Then He prays that we might have strength. I love this. That we might have strength to comprehend the dimensions of His love. He wants us to be able to grasp the dimensions of the love of God. He wants us to know what's the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of it. I think in those four dimensions, I think there may be a picture of the cross of Christ in that image, if you think about it. One preacher I saw said it like this. He said, God's love is wide enough to include every person. God's love is long enough to last throughout all eternity. God's love is deep enough to reach the worst of sinners. And God's love is high enough to take you and me to heaven. And if you don't know that love today, ask Him to help you grasp His love for you. See, Paul says that God's love for us is so amazing, so great, that we need supernatural help just to get a grip on it, just to understand it. That's what that prayer is for. And it will change you powerfully. So much, think about this with me, so much of the devil's plan for your life involves making sure that you don't believe how much God loves you. Isn't that true? We hear people struggling with that all the time. Say, I can't believe that God would ever love me. But see, read this prayer and understand what God is actually saying to you. He's saying, ask me to open your eyes so that you can see the love that I have for you in Jesus Christ. Let me take the scales off your eyes, God is saying, so that you can really see how much I love you, and it will change you, church, when you see that. Then he prays that we would grasp the love of God in unity. Paul wants us to understand that God has saved us to be part of a people, not just to enjoy our own salvation, as glorious as that is. He prays that we might grasp the love of God, he says, together with all the saints. Church, be sure that you remember to pray for your friends. Back in the 19th century when I was growing up, many of us had prayer lists, right? And we used to write on a page of paper all the people that we had to remember to pray for. Be sure that you pray for the people you know who need to get hit and transformed by the love of God. You know who they are. Paul's point here in saying this, of course, is that it's not just about you. It's about caring for one another, making sure that your friend gets a hold of it, making sure that we all grasp the love of God and experience it together. Then Paul prays, going further down, that we might truly experience the love of God. See, praying that we grasp it in our minds is one thing, but God wants us to ask Him that we might really experience His love. He says, I pray that you may know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. How? How can you know something that is surpassing knowledge? We find the answer when we look at the word that Paul uses. He says, knowing the love of Christ. And in the Greek there, that word doesn't just mean to know facts. It means to understand something or experience it. In the New Testament, that word was used when you wanted to say, I know somebody. So they used it about knowing a friend. They even used it about a husband and a wife knowing each other intimately. God says, I want you to not only know about my love, I want you to experience my love in all of its life-changing power. Don't be satisfied, church, just to study God's love, but make sure that you pursue God and seek after Him so that you possess His love in your heart. How we need to pray, as Paul says in Romans, that the love of God would be poured out of our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. How simple to just go to God and say, God, pour your love out of me today. Worship team, you can come back if you would. Finally, Paul prays, he concludes his prayer by praying that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I have to tell you that everything that Paul prays inside this great prayer is immeasurably better than what I would ever think to pray for myself. You follow me? It's better than anything I could ever expect to have or expect to experience, and it's certainly better than what I deserve. But this last part really takes the cake. Paul says, I pray that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Whether you look at that from the standpoint of theology or whether you look at that just from the standpoint of life, we hardly know what to do with a prayer like that. Think about it. Paul doesn't say, I pray that you be filled with God. Although I think that would be a pretty amazing thing to experience, right? He doesn't even say, I pray that you be filled with the fullness of God, which again doesn't even seem as if it could be possible for us to experience that. Instead, Paul says, I pray that you may be filled, everybody say filled, with all the fullness of God. Now, I can't even understand, much less explain, what it could mean to be filled with all the fullness of God. It seems to me from what Paul was praying in the verses above that it must flow somehow from us being able to grasp and experience God's love. To experience God's love must be to experience God's fullness. Why? Because the Bible says that God is love. What would it look like to live a life that was filled with all the fullness of God? Well, I'd love to find out, wouldn't you? What a big picture prayer that is, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I think that's about the biggest thing that a person can even imagine praying for. Frankly, I'll go out on a limb and I'll say I think it's probably the biggest thing that God could imagine you praying for, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Him. Paul says, to further blow our minds, that at the beginning of Ephesians 3, he says that this was God's great desire, and it was even God's eternal plan from the beginning for you to enjoy those things and to experience His love that way together with all the saints. Paul prayed that we would experience those things, and Paul was really showing us how to pray some really big, big picture prayers. He was telling us to pray bigger, to pray some things that were outrageously big and unbelievably great. Paul was teaching us to pray for things that have zero chance of happening unless there really is a living God who can do impossible things for His children. Friends, hear me this morning. The need, the spiritual need of our nation is truly great. The needs of our families are great. Our need for provision as we prepare to build phase two is great. But we have a God who is able and who specializes in things that were thought impossible. So let's decide to pray bigger prayers than the prayers we've been praying. Let's certainly pray to God about our daily lives, but let's also start to pray now about God's purposes and about the high calling that's upon our lives. Let's not only pray about our kids' problems, and we need to do that, but let's not only pray about the problems of our children, let's reach into the future and let's cover their futures, and let's shape our children's futures with powerful prayers from the Word of God. Let's pray that God will not only change things, but that God will change us. Amen. Don't you give up on yourself today. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. Don't give up on yourself today. Keep praying that God is going to grow you up until we all reach the height, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Don't you give up, and we're all going to pray that way, and we're all going to get there together. And let's ask God to blow our minds with His plan and blow our minds with His love and realize that you serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or ever think or imagine. Come on, let's stand and let's praise Him together. Come on, I want you to give a big praise to the God who does impossible things in this place. Come on and give Jesus a hand of praise. You're the Lord of the impossible, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it. How great is our God. Names. Sing that chorus. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? No one will sing. How great is our God? How great.
Bless you, God. We bless you, God of the impossible. We worship you, Lord of the impossible, today. Come on, lift your hands. Would you just thank him? Just thank him in your own words that he's the God of the impossible. We acknowledge you, God, as the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even think. And you even say that it's through the power that is at work within us. Thank you, God, that you've made your life and your glory and your power to reside within your children. And we thank you for that great love that you want us to grasp and experience for ourselves. If you don't know this love of God that we've been talking about this morning, if you're not sure whether you have a personal relationship with the Father God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then we want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive your sins and become your King and your Lord and your Captain. See, that's the first step in. That's how we begin to connect with God's wonderful purpose and plan for our lives. God loves you. You may feel judged, but God doesn't want to be your judge. He wants to be your Savior. You can experience his joy and be welcomed into his heavenly kingdom. And also, not only that, you can experience his abundant life in the here and now. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and as we all pray together out loud, I hope you will pray with us and invite Jesus to be your Lord today. Would you repeat this with me? Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I'm sorry for my sins. I know I need your forgiveness. I need your abundant life. Jesus, I confess you as Lord. And I turn from my own ways today. I believe that God raised you from the dead for me. Forgive my sins. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the abundant life that comes from you. Help me to walk with you from this day forward. Amen. Amen. Come on and thank him. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed a prayer like that this morning for the first time, then right after we conclude our service with prayer in a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. We'd love to meet you, shake hands, and we have some materials that we'd like to put into your hand that will help you get started in learning to walk in a new life with Jesus Christ. And for everyone else, I want to take a moment. We have a couple of moments of time, and I want to ask you if you'll lift your face to heaven and lift your hands to heaven, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray through this powerful prayer for the church from a Ephesians 3, and we're going to connect our lives, we're going to connect ourselves with God's wonderful purpose and God's love and God's desire that we come into Christian maturity. Would you lift your hands to him? Lift your face to heaven and let's pray this together. Say, Father, strengthen me with might in my inner man. Let Jesus Christ dwell in my heart by faith. Let me be rooted and grounded in your love. Let me understand with all my brothers and sisters what are the dimensions of your love. Let me know the love of Christ. Let me experience the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Let it transform me. So that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, fill me now. God, I believe that you are able to do more than I can ask, to do more than I can think, to do more than I can imagine. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise him. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it.